welcome to another episode from Middle-Aged Gaming. Today's topic is video games which have spawned movies. Adam, Antoine, and Phil watch the trailers to a mixture of well-known and obscure movie titles, whilst comparing them to their original video game. Has there been any movies which our hosts can agree have captured the audience, or the authenticity of the game? More importantly, how much money did these films lose? We pay special homage to the infamous Uwe Boll, who has directed and committed numerous atrocities in the pursuit of movie success. In this podcast, the audio from all movie trailers has been removed for listener ease. However, should you wish to watch the videos alongside our commentary, you can find the unedited episode on our YouTube channel, Middle Aged Gaming. Our discussions circle around the following movies: Street Fighter, Super Mario Bros., In the Name of the King, Max Payne, Blood Rain, Postal, Dead or Alive, Wing Commander, and Alone in the Dark. We hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome back to Middle Age Gaming Phase 2, as it is our second year now. Before we begin, I'd just like to remind everyone to subscribe and hit that bell to make sure that you are always up to date, and you don't have to play catch-up by binging on old episodes. You know who you are. And with that out of the way, Antoine, would you like to do today's intro?
Absolutely. So that's going to be a completely ad lib because we have no script prepared. So be ready for this. So today we decided, actually, I don't remember who proposed this, but that's a very good theme. We are going to look at movies coming from video games. And as usually, movies from video games are either very bad and very irritating, or very bad, but very funny bad. And everybody's thinking Street Fighter right now. So this is what I'm going to talk about today, and I can't wait to start. So up to you now.
All right. So Phil, anything to add before we begin?
In the dark as well. We discussed a load of games that were really bad at the last week when we were discussing the topic. And then Adam has just gathered a multitude of videos, and we'll just talk through randomly and see if we can come to a consensus about which one is the worst. Although there are so many bad ones that come to my mind.
Yeah, so before we begin, I'm just going to give a little bit of a heads up here. Due to the way audio works, when, you know, I can send audio to you, and sending audio to Phil and Antoine is a little bit different. So hopefully audio is going to be fine. We're not going to get too much of an echo when I send the audio to them. So hopefully we'll be able to get this all sorted. Also, right before we start, some of these movies are kind of old, so it was difficult to find high resolution versions of the trailers, if I could find a trailer at all. So I'm going to apologize if there's any kind of messy video quality in there. But in some cases, that actually might be to the benefit of the terrible CGI. So we'll see how that goes. All right. So to begin, I don't know. Do you guys want to start with Street Fighter? That's probably the most notorious, but it's not considered the worst. So we'll probably save the worst for later.
All right.
But since Street Fighter and Mario Brothers are the two probably most notorious, terrible video game movies, let's start with Street Fighter, because that one is at least somewhat reminiscent. So, yeah, at least, yes, Korean saying Street Fighter was awesome. At least that one's somewhat reminiscent of the game. Mario is just completely off base. So we're going to start with Street Fighter. I forgot how bad the design for Blanca was. there was like a second clip in there, and it was just, oh my God. I was kind of like, wow, I forgot about that.
Ryu as well was quite the skinny one.
Yeah. And Ken had short hair. What's up with that? That makes no sense. But yeah, you got to love the fact that it's Jean-Claude Van Damme playing the quintessential American hero.
But that's the fun stuff, because Street Fighter has always been, you know, like Ryu being the main guy. And here, just because it's Van Damme, say, oh no, it's Guile. Guile and the American army.
Yeah. Suddenly Guile's the main character, which he never was.
Bison, the actor of Bison, is just fantastic.
Raul Julia. He's pretty much the saving grace of the thing, but he died shortly thereafter. I think this is his last film ever, if I remember correctly. I think so. And if I've heard rumors, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard rumors that he was aware that I think he had cancer, and he was aware that this was probably going to be his last film. And he read the script and he knew that this was just garbage, but he knew it would make money. And so he wanted to, you know, leave his family with something. So he was like, okay, you know, this is terrible and I don't want to do it. And if I was in good health, I wouldn't. But
he made good use of his psycho.
Yeah, exactly. He wants his family to be well off. And so he made the sacrifice and attached this to his his professional resume. Yeah. How about you, Phil? Any comments on that one?
Yeah, I was just checking. It was saying that, Street Fighter Bison 1994, video game 1995, and then he died that year.
Yeah.
So it was. But yeah, he was, when I was watching that, he was the saving grace. In fact, to be honest, I think he made me like M. Bison more as probably one of the only characters, because all the rest was so horrific during that movie. And I'd like to pay homage to the sheer miscasting, to be honest, that was probably one of the worst things. Whoever the caster for that film was, to decide that the person to play their lead female was going to be Kylie Minogue.
Yeah, for Cammy. Which Cammy wasn't even in the original, but she was added later.
No,
right?
No,
she wasn't
no,
one of the original characters. So yeah, and then she becomes kind of a main character. But yeah, Kylie Minogue. Interesting choice. Has she been in other movies?
Likely, but
she must have been. She must have been. I mean, she made it big from which one was it? Was it Neighbours or one of the big Australian soaps? Was where she started her career. And then her and O'Donovan, the other guy, they both separated off from that. They were very, very big in the UK, those Australian daytime. So Home and Away and Neighbours were the two that were massive. And she was like a child star that was from that. Mm. I think this was probably one of her earlier movies into the real big world, and showing everybody that while some people think that she can sing, nobody in the world thinks she can act.
Ouch.
Gotta love that blunt British humor. Yeah. There. All right. Yeah, it's what is there to be said by Street Fighter? I mean, that's obviously the one of the most, when everybody thinks bad video game adaptations, that's a big one.
Yes, but just watching the trailer, don't tell me you didn't smile and it reminds you of your childhood and say,
it was hilarious.
Christmas movie. That was great.
I think it was weird that they went with like a movie. It was designed to be a movie, whereas you came to like Mortal Kombat as a comparison, which is all just about the one versus one, almost like you're playing the game.
Yeah.
You know, I choose this character, fight, who is the winner? This one was kind of more like, apart from M. Bison fighting, you had, who else was on the bad guy side? Sagat and a few others.
Vega, I think.
Yeah, it was still never really one versus one. It was always like groups versus groups. And Blanker, of course, yeah.
That's... Was it actually a Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat that actually had a video game of the movie?
I don't know. I don't remember there being a Mortal Kombat.
I think there was a video game.
A video game adaptation of the Mortal Kombat movie, but I don't remember there being one of the Street Fighter movie either, because Street Fighter is almost, I think they've almost exclusively done fighters. Mortal Kombat's done a few things like Shaolin Monks, but yeah, I don't know. Or maybe it was Tekken? I don't know. Apparently there's a Tekken movie too. I don't have the trailer for Tekken, unfortunately, but that's probably for the best. I do have Dead or Alive.
Dead or Alive?
I have Dead or Alive. So.
Wasn't there a more modern, really, wasn't there a Ryu film for Street Fighter? Very more recently. Or a Ken and Ryu.
An OAV.
Yeah, you're talking about Assassin's Fist.
Assassin's Fist, yeah, okay.
Yeah, Assassin's Fist. I only remember that because my wife and I actually watched it. And the only reason we watched it was because the guy, it was on HBO, and the guy who was doing kind of the promos for the movies that month was like, he kept saying, you know, Street Fighter, ass in fist, you know, and it's like, that is how it's spelled, but I don't think that's what the movie's about. But yeah, I saw that one and it was, it's better than the original, but it's just it just feels super low budget. It's really just kind of them training, and that's it. It's just a bit. It's like if you took the montage and made the movie out of the montage, and instead of like having scenes, you just showed exactly what they were doing throughout the entire montage, and that's kind of what the movie is. Mm. Yeah, it's okay, but yeah, it feels really, it feels like a student film in a way, you know, like a fan film kind of thing. Like, we didn't have a big budget, but we wanted to do these characters, so we're just doing kind of a backstory thing.
I stand by my, for people who have seen it, there is a Street Fighter 2, but it's like an anime like film, and it's really, really, it's quite a trippy series because the bit rate keeps switching back from the classic type to like I want to say modern, but it's modern for when they started doing the filming, which is maybe late 90s. But you get this continual shift backwards and forwards from like 16-bit to whatever the graphics were at the time, and then back again. So if you're watching it, it's almost like some sort of Keanu Reeves style movie of messing with your mind and your eyes.
Hmm. Interesting. We'll have to check that one out. All right, so you guys ready to move on to another one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's do Mario Bros, because let's face it, everybody was waiting for this one as well. So we'll save the worst for last, Alone in the Dark. That we'll do that one last, but let's do Mario Bros next. All right, so let's go. Throwing the music at the end.
That's about the best part, the best bit, I think.
What are you talking about?
And the movie died right now.
Coming this
it's
summer.
It's funny that, actually no director tried to revive the franchise, you know, after such a terrific movie. Can't be worse than that.
Yeah, why did it never get a sequel? It makes no sense. I love the part of the trailer where they're in the pipes and suddenly all audio cuts out. And it's a montage in the trailer of them fixing pipes. That's, you don't see that very often.
Don't you like your cute Yoshi?
Yeah, the little T-Rex raptor looking Yoshi.
Oh, God. That's an old movie, so that's not their fault. But still.
It looks nothing like Yoshi. Yeah, I don't know why they went with that. And then the guy's hair, it's like he's trying to do cornrows, but in a mohawk at the same time. It's a really weird choice.
That's supposed to be Bowser, right?
That's Bowser, yeah. But they were calling him, I think, King Koopa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see with Bob Hoskins. Was this before Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I don't think so. I think Roger Rabbit was 80s, right? That should have been 90s, I think. I don't know. Let's look that up real quick.
Because he definitely was in sort of like, obviously became a bit the go-to man for being a bit of a quirky featured film.
All right, so let's see. Who Framed Roger Rabbit was in 1988. And Mario Brothers movie
93.
So yeah, Who Framed Roger Rabbit had 5 years on this one.
Yeah, but Roger Rabbit was fantastic.
In Roger Rabbit's defense, Roger Rabbit was much better. No, that's definitely true. I also like the fact that they established. So this is it was this movie that established the canon that Mario's name is Mario Mario and Luigi's name is Luigi Mario. So they're officially the Mario Brothers. I don't think that's ever been mentioned anywhere else, and I'm not entirely sure that's canon. So don't quote me on that.
No. It's not. Of course, it's not.
Please. This is a canon. What are you talking about? Yeah, and if I remember correctly, I don't think the girl's name is Peach, but they don't say it, do they? Not in the trailer. Maybe in the movie they said it.
No, I think they only referred to it as Princess.
Exactly. Okay. I don't recall. I think she has just a normal name in the movie.
Yeah. All right. Well, do we have anything else to say about that?
What was the other guy? John Leguizamo. I can never pronounce his name. John Leguizamo?
That's Luigi, right?
Yeah, it must have been pretty early in his career.
Yeah, he looks really young.
He's only 57 now.
He always has that same accent, though.
Yeah.
He never does a different accent. Ah, speaking of accents, we have a Jason Statham movie in here. So you want to move on to that one? That one's going to be an odd choice.
In the Name of the King.
Sure. Just a question.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Did they ever, you know, like apologize to the Italian community after this movie?
Why would you apologize for this? This is art. You don't apologize for the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, because Mona Lisa is a masterpiece. Please don't compare with this movie.
As we're moving on to the next one.
Sure.
I was just doing some research, and the director is Uwe Boll.
He is about half of these movies.
And I was going to say, he also is the director for Postal.
Yep.
And he is also the director for Alone in the Dark.
Yep.
Which is all three of which seem to appear on most top 10 lists of worst video game adaptations.
And Blood Rain.
And Blood Rain as well. Okay. I didn't realize that one.
Yeah. And he's done a lot of these movies. A lot of these terrible video game adaptations is the same guy.
I mean, surely at some stage after like the second version, people just say, no, we're not going to let you make a movie of our video game. We've watched what you've done in the past. No, go away.
I think he's House of the Dead too, actually, which I also have. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Him. And then, was it Mia Jovovich? And who's her husband?
Paul W.S. Anderson.
Yeah. He just keeps doing these things too. I don't know.
He does. And he's terrible each time. I mean, the first Resident Evil was okay. It was actually good. The second one is bad, but it's a guilty pleasure. You know, you just watch it because, hey, it's okay. After that, it's just insanely bad. Like, insane.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. House of the Dead, Alone in the Dark, Alone in the Dark 2, Blood Rain 2, Blood Rain 3, In the Name of the King, In the Name of the King 2, In the Name of the King 3, Postal, and Far Cry. He's directed them all.
It's a Far Cry movie. Oh, fantastic. I don't have that one.
Yeah, Far Cry is a 2008 English-language German action film. Loosely
English-language German action film. Okay, that is... Yeah, I don't know how
it was a major box office bomb. That surprises me.
Oh, wow.
Words I'm sure he's never heard before in his life.
How come the studio actually keep giving him projects?
They probably make tons of money, like when it goes on Sci-Fi Channel, you know, like lots of people just watch it just because it's so terrible, you know, for drinking games.
Really?
I'm not sure, because I was looking at, which is this one? This is Far Cry, and it says their budget was $30 million. What do you think they made at box office?
Two.
13 million is actually quite low. That's very low. For a movie, yeah.
743,000.
Nice. Not even 1 million. Very nice. Excellent.
Congrats. So that's why no one knows about this movie.
Yeah, but then they get it in syndication where they can like go up again. I don't know how that works with streaming, but...
And how many of these movies actually made it to the big screen?
All of them. All the movies that I have trailers for were in theaters at one point.
A few of them. Here's in the Name of the King, which we're going to do now. Budget was $60 million. What did it make at box office? This one wasn't terrible.
700,000. Same number.
I'll say half, like 30.
13.1.
Okay, so he made back his budget for the other one. That's what he's got to do. He's just got to keep going. And then, you know, his next movie will offset the previous one.
He's a magician for getting project all the time.
He's like a gambler, right? He's like one step forward, two steps back.
Always on the losing side, yeah. But a gambler, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. In the Name of the King 2, his budget was $4.5 million. So obviously they learned their lesson and went, this is your budget this time. It's like... 8% of what you had last time.
I would love to see the quality difference between the two. It probably went up.
In the Name of the King 3, also 3.5 million, which you have to imagine a good chunk of that's probably just Jason Statham's feet.
Feet? Oh, feet. Fee. Yeah, I thought you said feet. And I was like, what? The movie is just pictures of his feet.
I mean, for 3.5 million, that's probably all you can afford.
Probably. Just
like a little box sword. Okay, let's go. Let's see how bad this trailer is. I mean, the fight scenes from Monty Python's Holy Grail look better than that.
I mean, what did the guy who did the montage took, like cocaine or something? It's cutting every 2 seconds. I nearly died of epilepsy right now.
I was sitting there thinking, like, this looks like Guy Ritchie. this looks like the inspiration for King Arthur, the King Arthur movie he made. But yeah.
Oof. I thought you put it in fast forward at some point.
No. It's a normal speed the whole time.
The stars in this movie, Jason Statham, Ron Perlman, Claire Fulani, Matthew Lillard, Ray Liotta, Burt Reynolds.
Ray Liotta's looking a little bit long in the tooth in that one. He's looking kind of ragged.
Actually, I don't even know the video games related to this movie.
I've never heard. Yeah, that was the thing too, is I was like, I didn't know this was a video game movie because I didn't know this was a video game.
So is this a video game called In the Name of the King?
No, I think it's a
Dungeon Siege.
Yeah.
Dungeon Siege.
Yeah, I don't think I know Dungeon Siege.
Just for the fun, I think I'm going to watch this one because it looked kind of epic.
Yeah, this one, the trailer, in my opinion, didn't look awful in the sense that it looked like typical Guy Ritchie Hollywood movie. It didn't look like it was going to be
Guy
like
does good terrible. Movies.
He does good movies from time to time, and he does awful movies too. Like King Arthur.
Yeah, it was terrible. I think if you watch that one, you then have to watch the other two, though, and let us know how bad those ones are. I think I've watched the first one. I think I managed to scrape through it, but I've never watched the second or third one.
Yeah, I was one of our coworkers, Phil knows him. He's also from the UK, and he loves the way Jason, was it Statham? Is that how you pronounce his name? Mm-hmm. Loves the way Jason Statham does his American accent, because his American accent is just his British accent, but deeper. And so he's like, you know, I'm Jason Statham. Oh, no, no, that's a terrible accent. But, you know, when he does
Australian.
Yeah, Australian, right? But when he does American English, he's like, I'm Jason Statham. it's just lower. But he sounds exactly the same. And it's like, that's how Americans sound to you? They just have lower voices? Yeah, I don't know. I can't do a British accent. I can do an Australian one. It's weird. But yeah. All right. So I think seeing as we don't know the game, I guess we don't have too much to say about that.
Unfortunately not.
Moving on to other big name actors, though. Would you guys like to see a Mark Wahlberg video game adaptation?
Poor guy. Was it before or after Ted?
Max Payne, starring Mark Wahlberg. All right, yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't?
Max Payne. Max Payne was the game with bullet time, wasn't it?
It was the game with bullet time, exactly. Yeah.
It wasn't that bad, Max Payne, compared to Mario Bros.
I liked Max Payne. Oh, wait, the film. Sorry, I thought you were talking about the game.
No, the movie. Well, the movie.
Okay. The movie, yeah, because they added this, what was it? Well, we'll see it in there, so.
I didn't like the movie as much, I don't think.
I never saw
the drugs. Movie. Is it, really?
So you've got to be on drugs to like the film?
No, I said
that's
the movie.
Going wrong.
That sounds fair.
No, Max Payne. Max Payne, I think, if I recall, like his whole family died and he's a detective trying to find the murderers of his family.
I can't remember the storyline that much.
Yeah. And there's something about angels. I'm not sure. We'll find
out. Yeah, it's because people who take the drug see angels, like hallucinations everywhere.
Oh, I guess we don't have to watch the trailer anymore.
Go on.
No. I mean, do you want to watch that one? I have a lot of others if you want to watch something else.
Yeah, put it on. I actually like this one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like some of these movies too. I'll be honest. I like Doom. I have Doom here, but I like Doom.
I recall a very pretty lady in this movie too. That's why.
Ah, yes.
Was it Michelle Rodriguez, I see, in there?
Was she in there? There was Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis, I saw.
Oh, sorry.
I do have Michelle Rodriguez in one of these trailers, though. So we can do that one next.
Resident Evil?
But yeah, no, that was Mila Kunis. Yeah. That okay. 70s show, Ted. Yeah, she's
a family guy.
I seem to recall, actually. I noted last time I saw this, I thought, if you remove the name Max Payne and put random detective movie, maybe a Constantine, but with less budget, maybe.
It looks a lot like Constantine.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just you can't really make any relation to the video game.
Yeah, I think the only thing there is that isn't there a couple of scenes where they kind of try to integrate the bullet time, where everything slows down to see the. That's the only thing that they
like a Matrix type thing. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, but was it before or after Matrix? Because, you know, it's really hard.
2008, so this has got to be after.
After, and so Matrix, you already saw Matrix, so you can't really make the relationship with the game.
Matrix movie. When was the first Matrix? First Matrix was 1999.
Yeah, like 9 years before.
Yeah, so, and now they're coming out with Matrix 4, which actually looks interesting, but I have no idea what they're doing with it, because...
They lost me at Matrix 2, where I was like, what the hell is going on, and what's the point in this? But I read an article that said, like, once... It said that something like the idea for the trilogy, they wanted to do the trilogy of Matrix, and then they decided, no, you're only going to do it in one. So that's why the first one is pretty much really, really in depth with like three film ideas pushed into one. And then they said, actually, yeah, this is so successful. Here you go. You can have your trilogy. And then they're like, okay, great. Well, we've pretty much done everything we wanted to do. So now we're just going to make this crazy, weirdy, alien things, and we're going to go and fight them. And yeah, then it dropped off for me a bit. The second and third one. They just went a bit like, what is going on? Where am I? What am I doing? Is this a movie still?
First one was perfect.
So for this, the budget was $35 million. How much do you reckon they made at the box office?
Max Payne, you mean?
Yeah.
50.
Yeah, I would have said something like this.
85.8.
Okay. So I figured this one probably would have made its money back. I was like,
it was a good movie. It's just hard to relate to Max Payne, but it's a good movie.
Yeah, and for something that you can only see when you're on certain drugs, they appear a lot in the trailer. So
it's a whole intrigue about it. So
Okay, so the whole intrigue is, are we on drugs or is this actually happening?
That's exactly it.
An interesting concept, kind of inceptionist, inception-like-esque. I don't know what the word would be. All right, so we have anything else to say about Max Payne before we move on to our Michelle Rodriguez film, seeing as she was our...
No, but compared to the quality of the others, that's actually a decent one, so try to hit us with a real bad one.
I was reading here, sorry, just before we move on. It was saying that the developers of the game Remedy Entertainment for Max Payne felt that the game and the film were so different that they made a public statement against the film.
Yeah, see, I told you.
The game, Max Payne. The developers?
Yeah, Remedy Entertainment in 2000.
Yeah, I told you, there's no relation.
This is just name only. And the fact that his family's dead.
Miller did not approve of the fact that the film's audience does not know why Max is seeking revenge. So I guess in the movie, they never really explain his backstory. He's just running around killing everybody.
I mean, Antoine clearly knew why.
It's pretty, even in the trailer, you see it. You see his dead wife on the bed.
Yeah, and then it fades into children. The modern time. I guess he didn't watch the movie.
Exactly. What's the wrong movie? Oh, crap.
This movie is terrible. It has nothing to do with the game. Did you see it? No.
I think it's because it clarifies here. It says a flashback scene where Max finds his family murdered was at the beginning of the game, but was towards the end of the movie.
Ah.
So you only get the justification for the character midway through. I don't know how that affects it.
I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, though.
No.
It's so different from the game. You don't know immediately that he's getting revenge for his family.
You know, he's getting revenge, though, but yeah, oh well. All right, so we're moving on.
John Wick, we know that his dog's dead and that he's going to kill everybody because of it.
Three times over. And now he's in the Matrix. But yeah, so now we're moving into, since Michelle Rodriguez was the missing actress, we're going to move into a movie that actually has Michelle Rodriguez in it, so...
And we now know the main reasons of why Antoine chooses to watch films.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Exactly.
And Mila Kunis. All right. Well, then after this one, we can watch Dead or Alive. A Bull King movie. Here he's back.
Hey.
UA Bull or whatever his name is. 2006. That's newer than I thought. I thought that was a 90s movie. Looking at the thing.
Sorry. I know neither the game nor the movie. So
you've never heard of the game?
No clue.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Blood Rain was one of those kind of Devil May Cry action style kind of games. You played as Blood Rain. She has these blades that like they fold back on her arm, but they can fold forward. You know, so it's kind of like a switch, like these giant switchblade swords on her arms, and she kills Nazis.
Yes, she do.
Nazis.
What Nazis, yeah. What else? I mean, she's a vampire. She lives for a long time.
Okay.
But she particularly hated the Nazis.
She particularly hated the Nazis for whatever reason, yeah.
So it's an early Wonder Woman movie?
Well, Wonder Woman was World War I. So she hates Germans, but not explicitly the Nazis, just all true. Germans.
Yeah, wider category.
Yes, exactly.
Germans throughout time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not just the one regime.
Yeah, no, sorry. Don't know about this one.
25 million budget. What do you think the box office was?
20.
I don't know about this one, so 12.
But I had Michelle Rodriguez and Ben Kingsley, so...
3.7 million.
Whoa! Wow! I think that's our worst return yet.
Ooh.
Right?
No, Name of the King was... In the Name of the King was...
No,
worse,
that was
right?
1/8. This is what? One eighth? How much was it? 20 what?
25, they got 3.7.
So this is okay. Basically, this is almost exactly the same as the Return of the Kings.
Yeah. Oh, this man is a very good.
This man is a master of his art.
You can always count on him.
Yeah, every time I click on one of his movies for details, it's always, and was a box office bomb.
Apparently, he also made a movie that was kind of a spoof of this movie. So he made a spoof of his own movie called Blubberella, which was about a half vampire woman killing Nazis again, but she was kind of a Fat Amy type, you know, the Rebel Wilson, you know, kind of this chunkier woman, and it's the exact same film, but with like this really big lady doing the main character.
You have to understand, he has to put food on the table.
But he's not. He's losing food each time. Who's funding these things? I don't know.
Universal.
I think I read somewhere he got a lot of subsidies by the German government. So a lot of the filming was like would be half done in Germany, and they'd get huge, huge amounts of money subsidized by the EU funding and by the German Film Commission and places like that.
That's why they don't fund anything anymore.
It's interesting.
Only Canal Plus who does.
Yeah, let's fund this movie about vampires killing Nazis and redeem our image.
Well, I think Postal was partly backed by Kickstarter, things like that. Oh, the sequel. He tried to produce a sequel to Postal.
Ah.
Because the first one was such a success.
Seriously, though, I mean, it is horrifically bad. It is terrible, and it's really difficult to get all the way through. But if you're looking to be offended in a film, Postal is probably like my top three films to be offended with. And it's pretty funny.
It has Nazis.
In being bad. That also has Nazis, yeah.
Ah, so many
to be offended in movies. I love this sentence.
So that gives us three options for our next one. Do you want to do Dead or Alive? Because that's Antoine's niche. Do you want to do Postal, since we're talking about that? Or do you want to do the other movie about a half vampire, but this one kills zombies? What do you think, Phil?
I'm biased to Postal.
Biased to Postal? All right, we'll do Postal first, and then we'll do Dead or Alive.
I mean, it's such an offensive game anyway. For those of you who can remember Postal, you know, basically, you know, run around shooting everything, but it was like Free World, one of the first games I can think of that started to become more free.
Yeah, you can do go wherever you want. All right, so let's watch Postal. Oh, this is going to be so bad. So we have George W. Bush and Osama bin Laden skipping through a field with explosions in the background. So, and bikini Nazis. And so, I can't think of any other way to describe this.
Somehow, it always reminds me of Hot Shot, but badly made.
Mm.
it reminds me of a cross between Hot Shots and anything done by, what are they, Broken Lizard, the guys who did Super Troopers and was it Club Dread, I think? Whatever.
Here's one for you, this one. Box office, budget, 15 million.
15 or 15?
15. So what did they make at the box office?
Less than one.
I'm going to say like four.
146,741 worldwide.
100,000. Wow. Did it release in one theater?
What was the score on Rotten Tomatoes? I think that was the worst, right?
Nope. We haven't gotten to the worst. The worst has a score of one on Rotten Tomatoes, I think.
It says here, also like Ball's predecessors, it was a critical and commercial failure, grossing less than 1% of its budget. Wow.
How many studios closed after these games, after these movies?
All right. So we made a promise to Antoine. We're going to do Dead or Alive now.
Yay, chicks.
So he can get his fix. Yeah, chicks.
Let me go get some beer.
A lot of these movies have that, have chicks in them. So, all right, so let's do Dead or Alive and see how bad it can get. I've seen this one. Have you guys ever seen this one?
Of course, yeah, I did. It's funny. It's okay.
Yeah,
it's
this is one of those really, really cheesy. You can't take it seriously.
Exactly, yeah, it's cheesy, and they absolutely play on the fact that the game is like this, so can't even consider this one a failure. If you look at the video game...
I'm sure this one made more money than the budget. Yeah. This one probably profited.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
But, they...
Budget 30 million. What did they make back?
60. I'm going to say 60.
70, then.
7.7.
Wow, they lost money. Oh, no.
Who wrong was I?
Aw, poor Dead or Alive. So sad.
That's why there was never a two.
I don't think there was a two, actually. Yeah.
No. If they lose that much money, I guess sequel is out of the question.
Yeah, I like the fact that they kind of did the Mortal Kombat thing where... they were like, okay, we're in this situation. We're going to have some exposition and story, but you know, like the guy, like in this one, they explicitly just straight up say like, I'm going to assign you random fights at random times. You're just going to show up and fight that guy, you know? And then, so you still have that, like, kind of like in Mortal Kombat where, you know, they're walking through and it's like, oh, here's Reptile. All right, fine. You take care of him. Oh, wait, no, you're matched up with Scorpion. Go ahead. You know, so they actually like threw in, kind of combined a story. Not that there's much of a story in this one. It's really just like, let me fight you so that I can program a robot that can fight better than all of you. All right.
I mean, I think you're always limited with those like a fighter games of what you're going to get in terms of plot, you know.
Yeah, well, you don't, because in a fighting game, you don't need plot. That's not the point. It's not an RPG. I mean, like, let's face it, a lot of shooters, you don't need too much of a plot because that's not the point. In an RPG, it's huge. But in a lot of other games, yeah, skip it. You don't need it. All right. But we still have a little bit of time, so I will do two more.
Wing Commander.
Okay, we can do Wing Commander, sure. Freddie Prinze Jr.
Like, of all his films, I actually like, kind of like, I could get behind Wing Commander. Like I say, I think it's because the guy who plays Poirot is the commander on board the ship. But Matthew Lillard isn't totally annoying as much as a lot of other movies for me.
Was Mark Hamill in this one?
I don't think so.
Who?
He was Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill. Skywalker? No, Mark Hamill's name.
Because he was in Wing Commander 3 and 4, I think. When was it released? Because I think that was a golden age for this kind of movies, you know, just after Star Wars, Star Trek, Babylon 5.
Did have elements of Babylon 5 behind it, actually. 1999.
Yeah, this so was about the same time.
Yeah, it was, the special effects felt back and forth. Like, when they're doing the big ship battles, it actually looks pretty decent. But then when they show the small ships, like when it's trying to land and doing the flip, it just looks really cheap. Bad. Yeah, it's weird.
Budget $13 million box office. What do we think? How bad was it?
10. No. I'm going to say it was close. It had Freddie Prinze Jr.
11.6. You went far away with 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, it has Freddie Prinze Jr. in it. Okay, he was a big draw back then. So I could definitely see a lot of people. And I mean, it's one of those things where like it's cheesy, but I feel like probably most of the people that went to see it had no idea that it was based on a video game.
Very likely, yeah.
Because it did just kind of look like the, you know, like you said, the Babylon 5 or Starship Troopers or, you know, that sort of thing. So I would assume that probably most of the people that went to see it probably didn't know that it was a game and probably just thought it was a generic sci-fi movie. So, yeah. So, okay, I could see it. That one doesn't look like it'd be so bad. That one looks like it'd be kind of fun.
You know? I can watch it too, yeah. Yeah. I put it on my list.
They only lost like $18 million from it, so it wasn't terrible.
$18 million?
Yeah, didn't I say how much was it?
You said
it
12 was, and they made 10.
Yeah. No, you said 30. 12. It was 30.
Oh, 30. Oh, I thought you said 13. Okay.
30.
Oh, okay.
No, 30.
Oh, 30. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, then that was pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah, they just lost 18.
They only lost $2 million. Oh, okay. Well, that's very different.
They only classify it as a commercial failure rather than the box office bomb from the other one. So.
No, that's just for
Uwe. It's only a commercial failure. All right. So we got quite a few left that we haven't covered, but we should probably just cover maybe one more. So I'll give you guys some choices. We could do Alone in the Dark.
Alone in the Dark for the very Doom, worst.
Double Dragon. Alone in the Dark is often considered the worst video game movie.
And it's our Uwe Boll friend again.
And it's another, yeah, Uwe Boll. And that's got a little, House of the Dead, Hitman. I have Monster Hunter.
Hitman was good.
Hitman was all right.
Monster Hunter. Annihilation.
Please don't get me started on Monster Hunter, please.
Oni Chanbara. Silent Hill Revelation. I actually liked the Silent Hill movies, both of them. And
I wasn't a massive fan of them.
I liked them. I thought they were fun because it's just kind of like
chilling. The first one for like about half an hour.
Yeah, but I mean, I like the game, so I like the atmosphere and I like the music and I like the fog and everything. The hell version of it kind of really captured that kind of like the imagery of the game. Yeah.
I remember I went to watch that on like a midnight showing in an altered mental state, and it was a really interesting experience. And I don't know, maybe that just tarnished it for me, because then after that I was just like, I couldn't get out of the jokey, Jared! Yeah! That stuck with me for that film.
Did you ever see the second one? That's the one I have the trailer for, is the second one.
I don't think I have watched it.
Also,
yeah, I think it's okay. Sean Bean's still in the second one, isn't he? But
yeah, and that's one of the things. I don't remember if he's in the second one. I think he might show up at the beginning. But that's one of the things that you know that Silent Phil actually is a masterclass in filmmaking, because Silent Hill is all about, you know, creepy things and how the world is upside down. And it's one of the few movies where Sean Bean does not die. So you know that whoever was doing that was like, let's make a movie. Okay, what are we going to make? A horror movie. Okay, how are we going to make it a horror movie? Let's have Sean Bean. But he lives.
Ooh, that's the concept.
And somebody's like, whoa, that's trippy. Yeah, so apparently Sean Bean does not have the most movie deaths, but he does have the highest death to survival ratio. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the highest movie deaths is some guy who was like back in the 1920s or something, yeah, who just did like 10 movies a year or something like
that. And Steve Buscemi's got to be pretty high on that list as well, because he's in so many films though. So, but I know he dies in a lot of the big ones stuff that he's in.
He does. So which one you guys want to do? Alone in the Dark, then?
It's got to be Alone in the Dark. Go on.
All right, let's do Alone in the Dark.
With who's in it?
I don't know, but it's
certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Christian Slater and Tara Reid. I mean, Reid.
Yeah. And Tara Reid, yeah.
Batman is in there. Whoa. Do you actually see the creatures in the game? I don't remember that.
Yeah, the game has nothing to do with the movie.
Again, from a casting department, who goes, okay, the female lead in this, she's going to be some sort of archaeologist, museum curator. Do we know any good actresses that fill that role just from viewing her? And somebody went, Tara Reid. She is the number one person that looks like an archaeologist curator for me. What?
This spawned her Sharknado career. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah, of course, Sharknado, movie of the year.
Yeah, this is probably, yeah, after she did this one, she's like, you know what? This is my bread and butter from now on. This is what I'm going to be doing with the rest of my life. But yeah.
Read the script first, please.
Looking at it, though, I feel like, because I remember seeing these trailers and I wanted to see it when I was little. So, I mean, looking at the trailers, it doesn't look that bad. It looks kind of like a generic monster movie.
The first part of the trailer looks good, you know, a bit of tension, everything is in the dark. And then when you have the exposition with the military guys are bah, 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 and the monsters are like, no, they blew it.
See, for me, that was the part that I was like, oh, I want to see the monster. I want to see monster movie fighting the monster. It was kind of like a Jurassic Park kind of, you know, to the extreme kind of thing in a way. But
go watch Aliens.
Or Screamers, if you've ever seen that one. Yeah, no, yeah.
Screamers, Screamers.
I like Screamers. It's really cheesy, but I loved it.
Yeah, exactly. That's cheesy, and the script doesn't make sense, but yeah.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. There are no plot holes.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Because it's so basic. But yeah. But no, yeah, it definitely has that kind of cheesiness to it, so. But I would watch this. But this is the thing. This one is probably the lowest quality video in terms of, I think this one's only like 240p or like 144p. And I looked everywhere and I could not find a high quality trailer of this, no matter where I looked. The highest quality I could find was the German trailer. But then that one was like a different trailer or something like that, so it was weird. That one I think was for Alone in the Dark 2 or something like that, which apparently was better than the first. So there's a second one, but
I don't think Uwe Boll made that one. That might be
I don't know if he did or not, but apparently it does better, but it's still kind of not great. So
I was just researching about Uwe Boll before we go, and it said he came out and said the reason he's able to do these kind of movies is I have a tax shelter fund in Germany. And if you invest in a movie in Germany, you get 50% back from the government.
So he only needs to make 50%.
I mean, even with that, he still made huge losses.
So on the ones where he made 1/8, he actually does lose. But on the ones where he makes like, you know, 60% of his costs, he actually profits. Okay, that makes sense, I guess. But yeah, and then also, we know like Tara Reid obviously has gone on to make the Sharknado films, and those are notorious. But they keep making them because they keep making money, right? People love these really cheesy, awful films. And so,
mainly in the US,
this movie's probably. Well, yeah, but yeah, it's just because it's fun, you know, it's just generic, it's stupid and, you know, like, but people love watching them and turning them into drinking games and that sort of thing. And, you know, that's probably what this is he's making a profit on it in the long run, just, you know, from reruns and whatnot. Or maybe he has, maybe, I don't know, maybe he came from a rich family and he just has a bunch of money to burn.
Maybe.
All right. Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. Okay, so before we go, I just have some quick news. I'm going to go really short on this. We have the KOTOR reveal at the PlayStation State of Play. If you guys have seen our Facebook, you've seen the meme I made. I'm very proud of it. But yeah, it's kind of strange because the original one came out on Xbox and PC, and the next one, and this one, the remake, is going to be coming out on PlayStation as a timed exclusive. So I think that's a little bit strange. I've stated before that I'm not a big fan of timed exclusives on especially third-party games, but I accept it when a game was originally on a system as kind of like a way of saying thank you to the fans, like with Final Fantasy Remake. I did think a year was too long. It should have been a month, maybe two at max. But this one, I'm kind of like, yeah, it should have been Xbox if you were going to go exclusive. But yeah, I don't know. I guess PlayStation paid out big money for it. But yeah, you guys have heard of this, yeah?
Thanks to your meme.
Yeah, thanks to my meme. All right. Yeah, any opinions on that? Or did you play the original?
Never had the Xbox, so no.
It was on PC.
Yeah, again, too old.
Okay. All right, well, the new one, it's one of BioWare's early games, and it's considered one of their best. So I will probably definitely be checking this out when it comes out. After that, Epic Games and Macintosh, Apple, they finally have finished their lawsuit, and Epic wins.
The best part.
Yeah, the first parts. And Epic has won, so now they are going to be able to charge people. So now Apple cannot have a monopoly on payment methods. So now on Android, Apple, all those things, they're going to have to allow alternative payments. And so that's going to work out well for Epic. And yeah, any opinions on that?
I don't think it's worked out that great at a conclusion for Epic, because I saw that Epic actually lost most of the decisions.
Oh, did they?
That was the only one they won. So they're actually appealing it. It says that the Apple Store might not be appealing it, but the Epic Games have appealed against some of the other decisions made in that, about them proving that Apple was running a monopoly. That was the all that part got dismissed, basically saying you can't prove it, even though this company is acting like a monopoly and everybody knows they're a monopoly. You haven't provided enough sufficient proof.
Ah, interesting. Okay, I didn't know that part. But yeah, so it looks like alternate payment methods on Apple, and I guess it was a lose-lose or a win-lose-win-lose. I don't know. It looks like everybody kind of came out. Everybody hates a compromise, so that's how it came out. After that, Xbox is apparently supporting vaccinations. So yeah, I think this is really cool. A video game company came out and they said, hey, guess what, guys? We support vaccinations, and we think you, as the cool gamers that you are, should get yourself vaccinated. So we've talked about games and politics before, but I do think that right now, especially in the US, I'm not sure about other countries. I don't know. Maybe you guys can talk about your countries respectively. But in the US, it's becoming it's gone beyond political now. It's just tribal, and people are just attacking each other over it. And I don't think that's a good way to get people vaccinated, is to, you know, call them names and tell them they're idiots and that, you know, they need to do this. And when, you know, so I don't think that's the right way to do it. But I think Xbox coming out and being like, hey, we think vaccines are good. We think you should do it. We're not calling you names. We just think it's a good idea. I think that's probably going to be a lot more successful in swaying people. It's just kind of like, you know, the whole like, hey, it's cool. You should do it. You know, if you don't, that's fine. But hey, you know what? We like it. I think that'll be a little bit more effective. But what do you guys think?
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think you have a bigger anti-vax movement in the States. I think you generally tend to have more people complaining about MMR and all sorts of different jabs throughout the last few decades that haven't really existed. I mean, there are still some people, but I don't think there's a larger following as much in most European countries that I know.
I think Australia has a pretty big anti-vax thing from what I've heard, but I know like that's part of the reason is in, I know between the UK and the US, they kind of have different policies, which is why a lot of people, when they have like cancer treatments, will go to the UK. Because from what I've heard, the way it's done in the UK is if a new medical procedure or medication comes out, they basically give people a waiver form and they say, this is experimental. You can try it, but we can't guarantee it's going to work. So you basically sign a waiver saying that you're willing to try this. But if something goes wrong, we can't be held liable for it because it is still experimental. Whereas in the US, they say we are not going to approve of it until it's been thoroughly tested. And so for that reason, a lot of people in the US, it's a lot harder to get things approved in the US because you can't, so like most vaccines will not be released until 10 years after their development because they won't let you experiment with yourself. They will tell you, you know, we won't release it until it's safe. Whereas I guess in the UK, they come out and say, you can try it, but we're not going to guarantee that it's going to work. But that's on you. You're welcome to try. And so maybe that's part of the reason why the US has more of an anti-vax movement. It's just because people are like, wait, these usually take 10 years. Why did this take 1 year? That's suspicious to me. That's weird. So I think that's contributed to it. But there's definitely a lot of that tribalism and Trumpism and that sort of thing in there as well. That's being part of the problem. But I like the idea that, you know, a company like this just came out and said, yeah, we think it's a good idea. You know, go ahead and give it a shot. Give it a shot. Hey, no pun intended. But yeah, anything else on that one? And we got one last piece of news after that.
Go ahead.
All right. The last piece of news. God of War recently was also shown at the State of Play or whatever it's called for the US. For the PlayStation thing. And they released... people loved it. It was great. It had a great release, except for two things that apparently some people are complaining over. The first one being Thor is too fat. A lot of people got kind of offended by that. They said, God, you know, Thor should have six packs and be awesome. And it's kind of odd to me that people would complain about that, given that fat Thor in Avengers was so popular and so well loved that people are complaining about this. Apparently the in-game lore for it is because I guess they have statues of Thor and he looks a lot more svelte and muscular. And I guess the in-game lore is that he's been kind of sitting on his laurels for a while. He's basically defeated everybody he has to, and he's kind of gotten fat and drunk and lazy. And also Thor in lore, in official, you know, in the mythology, definitely was a big drinker. So he's got a bit of a dad bod here. He's not even like fat. He looks like those kind of like strongman competitions, you know, where the guy's kind of got a bit of a gut, but they're still pretty muscular. He definitely looks like he could still kick some ass, but apparently people are not thrilled by that. And then the other is, I'm not sure how to pronounce her name, Angerboda. In mythology, she is the mate of Loki. She is the last giantess. And in this game, they revealed her at the end of the trailer, and apparently a lot of people are very unhappy about this because they're like, this is Norse mythology. Why is there a black girl in it? Personally, I think that this is, because they've said that this is the end of the Norse mythology. This is going to be the Ragnarok is the end of it. So moving forward, we're probably going to be moving into different mythologies. So I think this is a way to kind of connect with mythology more on a whole. So I think maybe she'll help them expand maybe into Egyptian mythology or maybe some African mythology or something like that. So I think in the game, the idea is that, you know, there's not just the one pantheon, you know, there are all the pantheons and they're intermixed and stuff like that, you know, so you have the Egyptian gods and the Greek gods and they kind of intermingle. So I think that this, she's kind of a show that the bridge is, they're moving away from this Eurocentric mythology and they're gonna be moving somewhere else. But a lot of people apparently are not happy because it is a character from Norse mythology and she does not look Norse. So what's your take on these kind of what people have been saying here? Fat Thor and Black Angerboda. I don't know how to pronounce her name. She's a Jotun.
Don't yell at me, but never played God of War.
I played the original one. So, I've said before, I'm not a huge fan of people adapting mythology because I feel like in this one, in the original, I didn't like it because I felt like, oh yeah, we're going to create this character and he's going to kill all the Greek gods. And I'm like, to me, it just felt arrogant to think like I could create a character that's better than these classical you know, like a guy that could defeat Zeus, you know, like my guy is better than this thousands of years of mythology. I wasn't a big fan of that. So I was never a huge fan of God of War either, but been doing pretty well. So
honestly, yeah, I don't care if Thor is fat. I mean, he's a big drinker, he eats a lot.
I don't care either, and I think it makes sense. He still looks like he could kill somebody pretty easily, you know. Like,
I mean, if she's black, who cares? Like, in the adventure movie, I think the giants were blue, so blue, black, yellow.
Well, and that's the thing too, is she is one of those giants, and she is in the lore, she's a shapeshifter, similar to Loki, I think.
Yeah, so.
So this might not even be her true form. This might just be the form she takes to kind of
That's Mystique. Blend in.
No way. Kind of like Mystique. Yeah, exactly. Wrong like Mystique.
Exactly. Wrong franchise.
So yeah, this might not even be her true form. This just might be the form that she takes to kind of, you know, get in with the Atreus and Kratos and not, you know, be too suspicious. Wow. I mean, if she showed up as just, she's a giantess, but she's not huge. So if she showed up as this, like, you know, 20-foot-tall blue woman, they might take notice of that. You know, she shows up at this girl, they're kind of like, ah, there's a person over there, whatever. So yeah, who knows?
Saying haters gonna hate.
So yeah.
Let them.
Yeah, but yeah, and then yeah, I don't get the fat Thor thing at all, given how right Thor was popular. What about you, Phil?
I mean, my Norse mythology is nowhere near as good as my Greco-Roman mythology, but yeah, I was just researching it. Apparently, only appears once in the Poetic Edda, and yeah, is a giantess in Jotunheim.
Yeah, she just shows up just once, and she's a giantess. So she's not even human, like Kratos is. So
I don't think it matters. Whatever. I think woke culture. I don't know. People just moaning about moaning for moaning's sake. You know, I'm online. Yeah. I can say something, and I'm sure 1,000 other people are going to comment. And you know, sometimes I think it hits the stage where it's so ridiculous, it can only be people trying to have fun at how much of a complaint they can rise about an irrelevant issue of like, oh, you know what's pretty fun? Thor's a bit fat. Oh, I don't really like that Thor being fat. Let's see how many people we can get riled up about it. Can we make, you know, really send a message to those game devs that we don't like Thor being fat? It's like, come on, whatever.
Sometimes I don't even think people are offended. I think people just want to... Yeah. They want to be offended. And they're like, they see Fat Thor and they're like, ha ha ha, Fat Thor. Oh, no, wait. You know, like, I could complain about this, you know? And I think in some cases, it's gotten to the point where people are feeling like, I feel like everybody else complains so much. I feel like I need to complain to be part of the group. And I need to find something to complain about so that I can feel like I'm included. And I think that kind of happens sometimes. So I think people find things to complain about so they can feel like I'm part of the culture.
But it'd be interesting if they are stepping away from Norse. It will be interesting where they go.
Yeah, and I mean the game, the last one did great. So I'm 100% confident this will do great.
Unless they break timeline, it's going to be a weird place to go to because you're looking at what end of Norse mythology. There's not a whole load of mythological systems that kind of run after that. So unless they kind of somehow link it back to something that's already existing before then, I don't know.
Well, that's one of the things, that's one of the fan theories, is that apparently Atreus's mother had visions of the future. So they said that she could see the future, but then I guess Atreus is supposed to be Loki, but there are things in the past that are linked to this, or like, for instance, Loki is the father of, what's his name, Jormander, or whatever, the giant serpent. He's the father of the serpent, but the serpent's in the first game, but Loki is supposed to be Atreus. So how could this child be the father of this giant snake that already exists?
Jormungand.
Yeah. But then the snake identifies him. The snake knows who he is. So some people think that there's a bit of wonky time here where there's a bit of moving back and forth. So it's not a straight line. So there might be some kind of, you know, going back into the past where Kratos, because I guess they say that there's pictures of him in the future, or there's pictures of him where he's missing an eye. So they're thinking that he's going to go back into the past, become Odin, basically, and then go evil. So Kratos, yeah. So there's a lot of fan theories as to why and how this is going to work. Nobody knows for sure, but... All right, and with that, it is the end of the day. We went a little bit longer today, but as far as the show concerned, I'm sorry for that, but as far as the podcast is concerned, that actually might be a good thing because we might need to edit out some of the audio for the videos, or else you guys are just going to be listening to random audio with no video. So thank you for watching, everybody, and coming to see us. I do have some unfortunate news. Korean is not going to be coming back today. So he will be back at some later date. But obviously he's not coming back today. No, I'm just kidding there, messing with your head. I just wanted to see if you guys had any reaction. Antoine's eyes kind of went a little big. I don't think Phil heard what I said. So yeah, so that's it for today. Any closing statements, guys?
No, maybe next time we can do the contrary, like movies which went so good that they create video games, like Mad Max.
Sure. Yeah, we can go the opposite way. Video games that were inspired by movies. Sounds like a great idea. What do you think, Phil?
Yeah, sounds good. Final comments, Uwe Boll, we salute you. You are a heathen, sir.
Absolutely.
Yeah, where would we be without you? Thank you for all those great drinking games. And with that, see you guys next week. Don't forget to subscribe so that you can make sure that you're here on time. And bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.